Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Colin Robertson, the Vice President and a Fellow of the Canadian Global Affairs Institute. Thanks for joining us, Colin.
Good to be with you, Bruce.
The U.S. International Trade Commission has published its analysis of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement and the impact it can be expected to have on the U.S. economy. First of all, a little bit of background. Just how important is the U.S. International Trade Commission's analysis and why?
Well, it is important because under the Trade Promotion Authority, under which Congress delegates authority to the administration to negotiate trade agreements with the rest of the world, after an agreement is negotiated, then the International Trade Commission, which is an impartial U.S. body, nonpartisan, looks at the economics of the agreement against the objectives that the administration provided to Congress in negotiating the agreement. So what happened, for example, with the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, the administration prepared a set of objectives, provided them to Congress. Congress said, yes, you have the authority to proceed to negotiate. The administration then moved to what's called the second act, negotiation of the agreement, which took about 18 months. The agreement was then signed at the end of November last year by Prime Minister Trudeau, President Trump, and the then President of Mexico, Peña Nieto. At that point, the International Trade Commission was given roughly sort of 6 months to take a look and do the economic analysis of the agreement. That analysis has been done, and on April the 18th, the International Trade Commission provided their economic assessment of the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. It's important because that analysis goes to Congress, and that is considered, because it is a nonpartisan group, it's considered by all sides to be pretty fair analysis of the likely economic impact of the agreement as set against the objectives that the administration had sanctioned by Congress.
What have been the U.S. ITC's main conclusions, and what's the significance of those findings?
Well, the overall conclusion of the International Trade Commission is that the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement will have a net beneficial impact on the U.S. economy, and it identifies the number of sectors in which that takes place. Of interest to your listeners, Bruce, is that in terms of agriculture, they specifically say that in terms of dairy access to Canada, U.S. has the potential to increase its access by about 7%, and that's going to be positive for New York farmers and for Midwest farmers, particularly those in Wisconsin. And if we remember back, President Trump at the outset of these negotiations had gone to Wisconsin, also gone to Ohio and other farm states, and said that one of his core objectives was to get better access for dairy farmers into the Canadian market. They've achieved that, although it's quite a slight increase in access, which they would have got if they'd in fact stayed in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but nonetheless some access. And so that is something that the International Trade Commission identified as a net win for American dairy farmers.
How is this finding expected to influence support for ratification of the agreement within the United States?
It should act as a net plus. Obviously, the administration, the president pointed out that this makes this a better deal than the NAFTA, which it will supersede. And U.S. Trade Representative Lighthizer, who has been going up regularly now to Congress and meeting with, in particular, the House Ways and Means Committee and the Senate Finance Committee, because those are the two vital committees. Just for your listeners, when the administration decides to proceed and introduce the implementing legislation, which can now take place because the ITC report is in hand with Congress, when they introduce that legislation into Congress, the House Ways and Means Committee, because it has some financial implications, which will be the committee in the House of Representatives, which will look at it. They'll have 45 days to determine and to hold hearings on the impact and on the the effect of the legislation and to take a hard look at the legislation. It would then go to the Senate, and there the Senate Finance Committee would have 15 days. So that takes you to 60 days. And then there'd be 15 days consideration in the House of Representatives as a whole and 15 days in the Senate. Normally, these things go through more quickly than that, but that's sort of that 90-day time frame is part of the Trade Promotion Authority under which these agreements are negotiated. So this agreement is in, this report is important because it's another check in the list of things that are required to be done before the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement can be ratified by the Congress and then presumably signed off by the president, who has now declared this to be a much better deal than the NAFTA, which he described as the worst deal ever. Keep in mind that both Canada and Mexico also have to ratify and implement legislation to bring in the agreement. And that hasn't taken place in either Canada or Mexico's case, complicated by both Canada and Mexico arguing that they want the tariffs on steel and aluminum that were imposed by the United States under Section 232 national security provisions about a year ago, June. They want these lifted before they proceed. The U.S. Trade Representative says he'd like to get to these, but first of all, the U.S. has ongoing negotiations with China, and that comes first. So the Democrats who now hold the House of Representatives have said, okay, this is well and good to show that there's some net beneficial parts to this agreement, that they would like to see changes on labor standards, and they're particularly targeting Mexico in this case. The Mexican Congress, as part of their undertaking in the agreement that they've entered into with Canada and the United States, has introduced legislation to make amendments to their current labor legislation, and it's passed the Mexican House of Representatives, and it's going to go through the Senate. In Mexico, they argue that this is sufficient to fulfill their obligations, although the Democrats in the House of Representatives have misgivings about it, and the AFL-CIO, the big American conglomerate sort of for labor unions, have said, no, it's not good enough, and they would like to see changes in the agreement. U.S. Trade Representative Lighthizer has said, under no circumstances will he reopen the agreement, although he said he might be considered to do some more side letters, of which is a part of the current U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement.
What will Canada and Mexico be watching moving forward, and why?
Well, the first thing that we'll look for when will the U.S. Administration actually bring in the implementing legislation? Because at that point, as I mentioned earlier to your listeners, the clock begins to tick, and there's a kind of 90-day, that's 90 legislative days, not calendar days, 90 days of the House and the Senate are sitting to consider this legislation. And that would take us to, if they were introduced, it, say, in May, that would take us into July, although the feeling is it could perhaps be done more quickly than that. And that, of course, would be important because it would be considered by the Congress before the end of its current sense of sittings before they adjourn and come back in the fall. From a Canadian perspective, I think it's doubtful that we'll proceed with ratification because, of course, our House is likely to rise about the third week in June, and I don't think there's time now for us to pass the legislation in Canada, so I think it won't happen now until probably next year after the federal election, which hasn't been called yet, but is scheduled for about the third week in October.
How much of a bearing on the time frames may the U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum have on the timetable for ratification in all three countries?
Well, that's a good question, Bruce. And that's you may recall that both Canada and Mexico originally said they wouldn't sign the agreement until these tariffs are lifted. We've been arguing that, first of all, we're not a national security threat and that these tariffs have been imposed unfairly and without fair reason when we are taking the United States to the World Trade Organization on the imposition of these tariffs. But when push came to shove, we did sit down in Buenos Aires and sign the agreement with the Mexicans and U.S. President at the end of November. So while we have said this is our primary objective is to have this lifted and that we won't ratify the agreement until the steel tariffs are lifted, that's a political decision that would be made by the government. The Mexicans have said something similar. It is a new government in Mexico. As I mentioned earlier, the agreement was signed by the outgoing government on their very last day in office, November the 30th, and the current Mexican government, with majorities in both the House and the Senate, led by President López Obrador, have said that they won't ratify the agreement until the steel tariffs are lifted. In the meantime, they have been proceeding, as I mentioned earlier, with their principal obligation, which was reform of their labor legislation.
And is there anything you would like to add?
No, I think it's a moving target, and we'll just have to continue watching. I think the next event is likely to be the introduction of the implementing legislation in the House of Representatives by the administration, although I don't think that will take place until United States Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer gauges that the likelihood of passage in both the House and the Senate is high, and that means he will do whatever deals he has to do beforehand. And there may be some tinkering. I mentioned signed letters to assuage concerns, but I has said that he does not want to reopen the agreement. I don't think Canada or Mexico wants to do that either, because that risks upending the whole agreement. Now, from a Canadian perspective, and I think this is important for your listeners, in the meantime, the North American Free Trade Agreement continues to be in operation. And in many ways, it's a superior agreement to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. The Mexico-Canada agreement is more managed trade. But that was what the Americans wanted, and that's what ended up happening. But for the average Canadian, things won't change unless the president, for example, decides to rescind the NAFTA, and he has several times threatened to do that when he introduces the implementing legislation. But I think the pressure on him from his major supporters, the farm community and others, would be to not rescind the NAFTA, but to just keep things going and wait till the propitious moment is for the introduction of the new agreement.
Thank you very much. Our guest has been Colin Robertson, the Vice President and a Fellow of the Canadian Global Affairs Institute. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.